this morning. We're going to break the church boxes a little bit, I believe. So, but there's all the other churches are also going to come, or everyone's invited in the five or six churches that we were ministering with last Sunday are also welcome. But we're excited to see what God is going to do in Bloemfontein in this season. Amen. So let's welcome Hamilton and Elena. He was actually an old JF boy, so he's back in his old school again. I'm sure he's going to share more of his story and just more of him. But it's wonderful. Let's give them a nice warm welcome from Shofar side.
Well, good morning, and it's absolutely a joy for us to be with you today and to partake with you in worship. You know, in worship we come so close to the presence of the Lord, and we can give from our hearts to Him because He has given so much to us. And I would like to open with a scripture today. I think it's been a theme all along while we've been here in Bloemfontein. And this is out of John chapter 7. And I'm going to start from verse 33. And it says here, Jesus said, I'm with you only for a short time. Then I go to the one who sent me. You will look for me, but you will not find me. And where I am, you cannot come. And then there was this discussion amongst the Jewish people, you know, what does he mean when he says when where I'm going, you cannot come, and, you know, where will he go and what's happening here? And then they said, what did he mean when he said, this is verse 36, you will look for me, but you will not find me, and where I am, you cannot come. Jesus is here speaking of his resurrection and especially his ascension, that the time will come where he will not be amongst the people anymore as they knew him. There was going to, in a physical way, there's going to come a huge, big change, because for 3.5 years he was with them. But then in verse 37, he goes on, and now he's going to speak of the time after he has ascended. And he says this, on the last and the greatest day of the feast, Jesus stood and said in a loud voice, if anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture said, streams of living water will flow from his innermost being. By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive. Up to that time, the Spirit had not yet been given, since Jesus had not yet been glorified. So you see, when Jesus speaks of the separation that will come with the ascension, he also speaks of the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. And he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, streams of living water will flow from within us. Because while Jesus was on earth, it was just such life. Life that even resurrected the dead. Life that healed the sick, life that brought dead hearts back to life and to worship and to the knowledge of the Father again. But he says, when the Holy Spirit comes, a stream of living water will flow from within us. And that is what we are trusting the Lord for today, that each one of you will be touched new and fresh with a stream of living water that comes from heaven by the Holy Spirit, but that it will flow through you. Okay, so now we're going to go to John chapter 1 from verse 19. Now this was John's testimony when the Jews of Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely, I am not the Christ. They asked him, then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the desert, make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, "Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet?" "I baptize with water," John replied, "but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the thongs of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie." This all happened at Bethany, on the other side of the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming towards him and said, "Look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is the one I meant when I said, 'A man who comes after me has surpassed me, because he was before me.' I myself did not know him, but the reason I came baptizing with water was that he might be revealed to Israel." Then John gave this testimony: "I saw the Spirit come down from heaven as a dove and remain on him. I would not have known him, except that the one who sent me to baptize with water told me, 'The man on whom you see the Spirit come down and remain is he who will baptize with the Holy Spirit.' I have seen and I testify that this is the Son of God."
Hallelujah. Thank you, Elena. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. And we thank you for your word. We thank you that your word is alive. That today you want to speak to us from your word. And you want to cause your word to come alive inside of each one here today. And that you want to put in us and baptize us afresh in the fire of the Holy Spirit. And so, Lord Jesus, we say, come and be revealed amongst us. Show yourself amongst us. Come, Holy Spirit, touch every person here with fire today. And that we will not be the same when we leave. In the name of Jesus, we give you all the glory, Lord Jesus. For yours is the glory. Hallelujah. You are worthy, Lord Jesus. We give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you first, Pastor Alistair, for having us here this morning. And I don't know whether any of you can perceive or understand how huge this moment is for me. Because I sat here in this school as a believer and baptized in the Holy Spirit later, with no thought that the Lord would ever move in this manner, in this place. Wow. Okay? So tonight I will share more about that. And I will share more of my own testimony of what the Lord did with me. And the title of my message tonight is going to be, "The Fire of the Holy Spirit Will Change You Into a Different Person." Oh my goodness, there's only two people agreeing with that. Now, you got to make some noise. Hello? Some of you are sitting here, I know it's cold, but some of you are sitting here like the chosen frozen. And I know this is not a chosen frozen church. I didn't get one amen on that. You better disown that one. All right? This is a Holy Ghost church. Am I right? Holy Ghost people are supposed to make some noise. Okay? So when I speak, I want you to make some noise. Okay? Say amen or say ouch or hallelujah or whatever you want to do. And if you don't like what I say, you can even boo. Just don't throw rotten tomatoes, okay? Anyway, okay. Hallelujah. I like feedback. And if you heckle, that's okay also. It will just stir me on. So, hallelujah. So, we want to look at John the Baptist, but he's going to show us something about Jesus. Because in order for us to understand receiving the fire of the Holy Spirit, we've got to know more about Jesus. Okay? All right? Now, let me ask you this. John the Baptist, was he a priest? Somebody said no. A few say no. Why would you say no? So think of this for a minute. Who was his father? Hello? What was the name of his father? Do any of you know? Hello? You don't know? Okay, we've got to get into the Word. Zechariah, Luke chapter 1. Zechariah was his father. Where is the birth of John the Baptist announced? Hello? In the temple. So his father, Zechariah, as a priest, was serving at the temple, right? Now, according to the Mosaic law, the law of Moses, if you were a priest, then your son becomes a priest. Okay? That was how it worked. So let me ask you this. Was John the Baptist a priest? Yes. Okay? So where does a priest have to do his work? At the temple. But we don't find John the Baptist at the temple. What was the work that a priest had to do? Make sacrifices. And what was the reason for the sacrifices? To deal with what? With the sin of the people, right? But we don't find John the Baptist making sacrifices at the temple. I want to tell you this. John the Baptist is the priest that escaped from the temple. Okay? And let me ask you this. When you look at, how many of you know what he was dressed like? Can any of you tell me? Hello? In camel's hair, yes, an animal skin, camel's hair. A skin of a camel, right? With a leather belt around his waist. Is that priestly dress? No. Come on. And then let me ask you this. What did he eat? Locusts and honey. Does this sound like the description of a priest? No. Can you see this man really escaped the system? Come on. In order for us to see the Lord do something new, we've got to escape the system. Wow. Hello. I know I'm messing with you right now. And let me just say this to most of you that are here. If you have grown up in any way in church or have been in church a long time, there, some of the system of church is in you. And what we often propagate is the church system, not Jesus. Okay? Is this true or not? Our message even often to people is come to church. You know, that was one of the commands of the Great Commission, right? Jesus said to the disciples, go and invite people to church, right? Is that true or not? Did he say that? No! So, when we gather here, Jesus wants to touch us here and inspire us and stir us that we get out of a gathering like this and actually go and be the church outside and make an impact for Jesus. But in order to do that, we need fire. Hello? Okay? So, John the Baptist escaped the temple. So what is he doing? He is baptizing people. As they come to him, they confess their sins, and he gives them a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sin. But now, again, going to the Old Testament law of Moses, can somebody's sins be forgiven without the shedding of blood? Hello? No. It cannot. So how can John the Baptist then baptize people for the forgiveness of sin if there is not a blood sacrifice? You see, it wasn't that there wasn't. Because you remember, we just read. He pointed and he said, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." You see, John the Baptist was preparing the way of leading the people out of a religious system, preparing them to walk in the new covenant with the Lord Jesus. Wow! He was pointing them to Jesus. But do you understand, when John the Baptist came, it was a brand new way of doing things that they had not seen in the Old Testament before. And when Jesus would follow after him, it was even more a different way. Wow. So sometimes when the Lord comes to do things in our midst and wants to take us further, he stretches us to do things that we had not walked in before. And in order for us to see this city shaken, we have to go beyond what we're doing now, because what we're doing now is not doing it. Okay? Amen? So let's trust Jesus for this. So he says, "Behold the Lamb of God." Then he says this. And this is very important, because in the things that John the Baptist says about Jesus, we see, in a sense, a twofold purpose of what Jesus would come and do. All right? So first of all, Jesus came as the Lamb of God. He would be sacrificed on the altar of the cross. Right? Now you understand, the cross was the way that the Romans executed criminals. It was not a religious symbol. It was the place of execution. But that was the same thing that God then used as an altar for the Lamb of God to be sacrificed on. Wow. And Jesus suffered for us to pay for the sin of everyone in this city. And do you know that without them receiving that forgiveness through repentance of their sin and putting their faith in Jesus and making him Lord, they could never participate in what Jesus bought for us. Right? Is that true or not? Come on. Is that true? Yes. Some of you don't sound so sure about that. Let me say this. Without somebody coming in repentance to Jesus, they cannot receive eternal life. And death and Hades is waiting for them. Right? Right? That is the biggest and the number one issue that this city and everyone in South Africa and everyone in the world has. Wow. It's only the Lamb of God that can take away their sin. And it's only through repentance, confessing their sins, and receiving His forgiveness when they put their faith in Him that they can receive this, right? So, that's where it starts. That must become our message. Then, John the Baptist said, I baptize in water. You will find this in Matthew 3 and also in Luke 3. Actually, Luke 3:16. You know, how many of you know John 3:16? Right? Well, it's good also to know Luke 3:16. John the Baptist says, I baptize in water unto repentance of sins. But he says, there's one coming after me that is greater than I am. Say, Jesus is greater than I am. So important. It's not how great I am. It's how great Jesus is. The more we lift Him up and make Him great, the more He works through us. Wow. Okay? So, He says, I baptize in water for repentance of sins. He says, but there's one coming after me who is greater than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to untie. He says, He, this is Jesus, will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Wow. Hello? So Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. If we want to receive the Holy Spirit, we have to come to Jesus. When you talk to somebody and they say they are a believer, but they are against, they don't like speaking in tongues and the baptism and the Holy Spirit. We often think that they have an issue with the Holy Spirit. I want to tell you, they don't have an issue with the Holy Spirit. They have an issue with Jesus. Wow. Hey, nah. As far. Because you see, Jesus is the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Wow. That's why when what Helena read for us, Jesus had to be glorified. And we'll get to that in a moment. So, then Jesus comes to John the Baptist. And he says, you must baptize me. And you know how he says, no, just imagine this. This Son of God coming to you and saying, you must baptize me. Can you imagine what was going through John? Yet, Jesus was setting an example. He says righteousness had to be fulfilled. And he gets baptized. And as he comes out of the water, heaven opens. One of the Gospels says, heaven tore open. I mean, God the Father was making a violent statement. Okay? And he thunders from heaven. But if it was in our day, he would have said, check out my boy. Can you hear the excitement of the Father to show off his Son to the world? He says, this is my Son. Check him out. The one who I love, the one in whom I delight. And then the Holy Spirit descends on Jesus. Now, somebody the other day said to me, why did Jesus not speak in tongues if then the Holy Spirit came on him? Because Jesus is God. Hello? The reason we receive tongues is to communicate to God. But God can communicate with himself. Alright? You understand. The Father and the Son can communicate because they're God. Alright? So, now, Jesus then goes and is tempted by the enemy, and he comes back in the power of the Holy Spirit. And he comes into Nazareth. He rolls open this book roll of Isaiah, and he says this. He says, this is Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is upon me, because He has anointed me to preach good news. He has sent me to preach good news. When you go and look at the Greek there is evangelizo, to evangelize. Wow. Do you know Jesus says this? He says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He has anointed me to evangelize. It's getting very quiet here. Hello? That is what Jesus says the Holy Spirit put on Him. Yes, we know, to heal the brokenhearted, to set the captives free, to open the eyes of the blind, to set at liberty those that are in prison, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor. And this we see play out in the ministry of Jesus. Yes, He did tremendous miracles. But when you read in John 4, He says that the reason the Father sent Him is that He is to harvest souls for eternity. Okay? Hello? Right? So, as we, as the body of Christ comes together, the reason we come together is to be stirred by the Lord, that we go out to evangelize souls and make disciples. That is the purpose. Now, I can hear some of you say, brother, I'm not an evangelist. Hello? This is not my call. Jesus said this to all of us. Let's see. I'm going to close in a moment. So Jesus then, as we read what Helena read for us, He said, we must be thirsty. I want to challenge you to become thirsty. And even when you come tonight, come with an attitude. You see, I have come to meetings like this, and I will share some of my testimony tonight. But I've come to meetings like what we will have tonight. I have come to meetings like that with the attitude, Jesus, if You don't touch me, I'm not going to do what You've told me to do, because I can't without Your fire. Do you understand? I came with a desperation. I want to challenge you tonight, come with a desperation and say, Jesus, You've got to touch me. Okay? So, now, the Lord Jesus had died. He rose from the dead, and He appears to the disciples. And I always love this. They're huddled together in the upper room. The doors are locked because they're so afraid, because the Jews that killed Jesus can come after them. The evil spirits and the demons and the devil himself that came to Jerusalem to take Jesus out, now for the last 3 days have been tormenting them. They are absolutely frazzled. They are tormented. They are traumatized by the events of the cross. And here Jesus walks in. He doesn't use the door. He comes through the wall. And He knows they are absolutely frazzled. But instead of saying, oh, I feel sorry for you guys. Hello? How many of you, when you feel you've been through a hard thing, you need somebody to just come and put your arm around you and say, I know what you're going through. I feel for you. We like that, right? We don't like it when somebody say to us, stand up, get up, man. Stop sulking. Do something. We don't like that, right? You know, that's exactly what Jesus did with them. He didn't come and put an arm around them the way we think. But when He said, peace, such supernatural peace came that all of that guilt and shame and fear and trauma just was ripped out of them. Wow! Thank you, Jesus. And you know what he then did? He focused them on the mission. And he said, Acts 1 tells us that in those 40 days that Jesus appeared to them, he taught them about the kingdom. And if you want to know what he taught them about the kingdom, you have to go and read Matthew 28, Mark 16, Luke chapter 24, John chapter 20 and 21, and Acts 1. And you will find out what it is that he instructed them. And all of that we call the Great Commission. And he said, go and make disciples. Go and preach the gospel. And then he said, I was thinking of your left. Anyway. He said, go and preach the gospel. But then he said to them in Acts chapter 1, verse 4, he said, wait in Jerusalem, because I will ask the Father, I will send from the Father the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. How many of you like Christmas time? Oh boy. I need to find another crowd. How many of you like to get gifts? All right. Presents. Hello? How many of you, if you see a bunch of gifts and they say, these are all yours, you say, no, I don't want them. Would you think there's something wrong if somebody does that? Hello? How does a child, a little child, if they see a bunch of gifts, how do they react? Man, you made my day. Yes. I said, Daddy, Daddy, where's my gift? Right? We need to have this attitude. Last night, I was ministering to a young man, and he was a little bit skeptical about the baptism and the Holy Spirit. And when I came to this point, and I said to him, you know, Jesus said he will give us the promised gift. And I said, whether he liked gifts, and he was laughing. He said, yes. And I said, does your little girl react? And I mean, he got it. He realized we have to become like a child. And say, Father, I've got to have what you have for me. Okay? We got to have that attitude. He said to them, wait. I will send you the promised gift of my Father. He said, John baptized in water. But he said, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. And John told us, and in fire. So how does that look? What does that look like? Imagine I have a cup in my hand. You have good imagination, right? Gebruik jou verbeelding. This is right, yeah, verbeelding. Okay, so imagine. So now the hand is Jesus and you are the cup. Because remember, Jesus is the baptizer. Don't ever go around and say, I baptize people in the Holy Spirit. No, you didn't. Hello? Jesus is the baptizer. If you lay hands on people for the baptism in the Holy Spirit and you pray over them, you are just the instrument Jesus is using. But Jesus is the baptizer. Okay, so imagine now this. Here he takes you. Here's a big pool of water. It's the Holy Spirit. Can you see it? All right, now, Jesus said in Luke 24, verse 49, that you will be clothed with power. The idea there in the Greek is literally just like when a woman would have a dress and she would pull the dress up and they would sink into the dress. Or in those days when they would have a robe and they would stand in and they would pull it up and they would sink into the robe. In other words, he says you will sink into this robe of power, of fire. Okay? How many of you like that? So, all right. So he says, so you go into the water, right? The outside of the glass is getting wet. Can you see that? You are being clothed with power. But then, when the glass goes under the water, what happens? It's filled. That's what happens when you get baptized in the Holy Spirit. Wow. You are clothed with power and you are filled on the inside. Now let me just ask you this. Jesus said you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, right? To speak in tongues, right? Right? To do signs and wonders, right? Quickly read Acts 1:8 and tell me whether I'm right. Am I right or wrong? You trust me. Let me give you a good lesson right now. Don't trust preachers. I'm very serious when I say that. If what we as preachers tell you, you cannot find in the Word of God, you cannot believe us. Hello? Don't just blindly follow what somebody tells you. You've got to check it out in the Word for yourself. I purposely said it the way that I did because I wanted to trick you. I wanted to test you. Okay, so what does it say? Be my witnesses. Hello? Can you see that? Yes, we do get tongues. Yes, we get to walk in power to do signs and wonders and miracles. But the purpose is to become a witness. Wow. Jesus wants to put a fire in you to become a witness. Okay? Now the day of Pentecost comes, right? And the Holy Spirit is poured out. Tongues of fire came. A mighty rushing wind comes. And I'll say something more about that tonight. But let me just ask you this. Then it says they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and they spoke in tongues. Do you think that speaking in tongues is strange? Hello? It is. It's weird to speak in tongues. It's only Holy Ghost people that do that. Hello? So do you think that Jesus told them that they would speak in tongues? Come on. Yes or no? Is there anyone that went there to say yes? All right. Can you find a scripture for me? All right. Turn in your Bible to Mark 16, verse 17, please. And if you have a red letter Bible, you're going to see this is in the red letters. Jesus says, these signs will follow those who believe. Is that what it says there in your Bible? Let me just ask this. Are you guys believers? So let me ask you this. When Jesus says, these signs will follow those who believe, is he meaning everyone who believes in Jesus? Hello? Okay? Now, what is the second line there? In my name, they will? And then? Speak in tongues. Oh boy. Jesus said they would speak in tongues. Did you know that? Wow. And if you go and check this out, I'm almost finished, but I want you to just check this because it will so stir you. So Acts 1 that we read where it says you will receive power. Verse 9 says Jesus ascends to heaven. Right? Jesus is taken up into heaven. Here in Mark 16, verse 19, the same thing. The moment Jesus finished talking to them, telling them, you will lay hands on the sick and they will recover. The next line says, Jesus ascends to heaven, right? Can you see that in the same conversation that Jesus tells them that they will be baptized in the Holy Spirit, in the same conversation that he tells them you will receive power, in that same conversation, he tells them they will speak in tongues. Wow. And Jesus calls it a sign. So let me just ask you this. When we get baptized in the Holy Spirit, what do we receive? What gift do we receive? You see, Jesus said, I will ask the Father for the promised gift. That promised gift is the Holy Spirit. Wow. We receive the person of the Holy Spirit, but tongues is the sign that we had received the Holy Spirit. The initial sign. There's much more that happens after that. So I want to encourage you today. Become strong in the Holy Spirit. Because Jesus wants to use you full of the Holy Spirit. Tonight we will talk about that, what that looks like. But this morning I want to challenge you. Jesus is the Lamb of God. We have to carry the message of the cross to the world. And He's the baptizer in the Holy Spirit. Earlier this week, we were there in Mimosa Mall, and we were having breakfast with some people, and when we were done, I started talking with the waiter, and he greeted me, and I just asked him about whether he knew about Jesus, and he had heard, but he did not know Jesus. And so I started sharing the gospel with him, how he had sinned, and he agreed with me that he had sinned, and that we need to repent of sin and come to Jesus. And I told him the story of Jesus, how Jesus suffered on the cross for our sins, that he was buried and raised on the third day. And then I asked him whether you want this, and he said yes. And then we prayed together with him, and he received Jesus in his heart. Right there, it was in the open. People were walking by. And I was not doing this softly, all right? Then I said to him, Jesus wants to give you the Holy Spirit. Can you guys guess what's going to happen now? So, then we prayed again and asked Jesus to baptize him in the Holy Spirit. Laid hands on him, and the next moment, he's standing there swaying back and forth, speaking in tongues. In the mall. Okay? This is what Jesus said. Let's go and do this. So, I want to ask first this morning, as we talked about Jesus and what Jesus came to do, is that any one of you this morning, because you see, let me just say this. Just as John the Baptist became a priest, do you understand when Jesus came, he calls all his disciples to be a priest? Hello? Every one of us have been called by Jesus to go and deal with the sin of the lost. through the blood of Jesus, through the sacrificed Lamb of God, and in the fire of the Holy Spirit. So, this morning, if you are here, and somebody invited you this morning, but you've never given your heart to Jesus, you are not sure if you die right now that you will be with Jesus in heaven, and you want your sins forgiven, you want to be right with Jesus, you want the peace of God to come in your heart, that you know that you've become a child of God. If you're in that place, I want to ask you right now, right where you're seated, just raise your hand, please. Is there anyone? Is there anyone? Hallelujah. That person that has their hand up, just stand up and come to the front. Is there anyone else? We want to pray with you. Come. And musicians, maybe you can either just play very softly or hallelujah. So, just come and stand here. Is there anyone else? If you put up your hand, come forward. If you're not sure, come right now. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else? Anyone else? So I want you to pray this prayer with me. And the believers, just stretch out your hand. In fact, every one of you pray this prayer together with me. As for those of you that are believers, this is a practice prayer that you can go and pray with others when they come to Jesus. So pray this. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus, and I confess that I have sinned against you. Forgive me my sin. In the name of Jesus, I also forgive those who have sinned against me. Today, Lord Jesus, I put my faith in you, that you died for my sins on the cross, that you were buried, that you rose from the dead, and that you are alive. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and be the master of my life. I turn my back on my old ways, and I turn to you, Jesus, the living God. Give me a new heart in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. From this day on, I will serve you with my whole life. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Where is Jesus now? That's it. Where is Jesus now? In your heart. Yes. Look at me in my eyes. I want to tell you good news. Your sins are forgiven. Hallelujah. Rejoice. Yeah, everybody, you can rejoice. Yes. Now, the next step, because you see now, you have Jesus in your heart, right? And you see, Jesus first loved us. That's how he died for us on the cross, to show God's love to us. Now, because he so loved us, we love him. Okay? And because we love him, we want to obey him. And again, when you think of a little child in a house, when that little child is obedient, there's peace in the house. Right? But when that child is disobedient, there is crying and disorder and trouble. Right? So, when we obey Jesus, it brings blessing, right? And so the first thing Jesus requires of us to obey Him in is to be baptized in water. When you go under that water, your old life is put to death. Just like Jesus died on the cross. And you deeply associate with the death of Jesus. And all the troubles, all the things that tormented you before is buried in that grave of water. And you are cut up from all the stuff of the past. And you rise up in a newness of life. And your conscience is washed clean. You come up in the resurrection of Jesus. It is a huge transformation. So speak to Pastor Alistair and make sure you guys get baptized quickly. Today, I like that. I like that. Is there anyone else here this morning? You have not been baptized by immersion in water. Come and stand here next to them quickly, please. Is there anyone else? You've never been baptized in water after you believed in Jesus. Then we want to make that count.
Come forward and we will speak to you a little bit more in detail about baptism. Even if you're just wondering about the concept and you do not know everything yet, we really want to invite you to come forward and I will take you aside while Hamilton continues to minister and I will speak to you more about baptism so that you can make up your mind concerning it according to what the scripture teaches. So if you want to know more, come forward. If you're not quite yet sure, you know, come forward so that you can hear better.
Hallelujah. Is there anyone that has to come and join? All right. Hallelujah. Now, the next thing, it just gets better. You remember we said Jesus is the Lamb of God? You just met Him as the Lamb of God? And then he said, what was the next thing that John the Baptist said about Jesus? How many of you remember? He will baptize us in the Holy Spirit and fire. So that's what he's going to do now. He's going to give you the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Is there any one of you, you've never spoken in tongues? Come and join them, please. Come. If you've never spoken in tongues, come and stand next to them. This is your moment. Come. 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 Hallelujah. Yes. This is going to be powerful. Come. Come. Make a line here with them. Anyone else? You don't speak in tongues. Come and join them. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And the reason I ask it that way just is that if you're not baptized in the Holy Spirit, you're most probably not speaking in tongues. So, come. Hallelujah. Is everyone here that needs to be here? Now, I would like behind every one of these believers, a believer who already speaks in tongues. Step forward. Yes.
Can we have all the leaders, please? Guys, if you're a leader in our church, small group leaders, just come and pray with these people, please. Thanks a lot.
Yes, amen. Stand behind them. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And after that, we will pray for everyone who wants more fire of the Holy Spirit and who needs healing. But this is very important. Hallelujah. So, Jesus said, In Luke 11:13, you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask? Okay? Amen? So, we're going to ask now the Father, and will He give the Holy Spirit to you guys? Hello? Will you speak in tongues? Let me ask again. Will you speak in tongues? Okay. Hallelujah. So, everybody pray this prayer with me. Say, Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. And I ask you now for the promised gift of the Holy Spirit. Lord Jesus, baptize me now in the Holy Spirit and with fire in the name of Jesus. I receive you, Holy Spirit, by faith, and I'm able to speak in tongues in the name of Jesus. Fill me, Holy Spirit, with your person and your power in the name of Jesus. And I renounce every wrong spirit and every wrong teaching and every false god or idol in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now just raise your hands to, in a posture to receive from Jesus, and relax. Don't try to work it out, work it up, or don't try to figure out in your mind. Sometimes people are so, ooh, what must I do? What I do? Just relax, okay? You can't do it. Jesus has to do this, okay? So, he's going to touch you with his fire now, with the Holy Spirit. And as the Holy Spirit comes upon you, he's going to put inside of you a new sound. And so you must, in faith, open your mouth and move your lips and start to make new sounds. And these sounds are not English or of Afrikaans, of Tswana or Sotho or Xhosa. Hello? Are you guys with me? Hello? So you must stop praying in your language now that you normally speak. And I want all the believers to stop praying in tongues. Those of you that pray in tongues, I want you to loudly pray in tongues. I want to hear you. Stop praying in tongues. All the believers. All the believers. Fire. 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 Hallelujah. Fire. All the believers. And those in front here, just open your mouth and just start speaking whatever comes out of your mouth. Just move your lips. Move your lips. Thank you.